Tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? It's time to simplify. Whether you own a big business or a small startup, Empower Payments can save you money. Streamline your payment process while saving money today with Empower Payments. Learn more at empowerpayments.com. That's empowerpayments.com.
Isn't this a sports show?
Kiss my bum. Just go ahead. Please.
That did not sound good. Don't do that. It sounded tinny. Okay, you're done now.
Smooch it.
Almost entirely.
This is a good radio show.
It's certainly a radio show.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
I say it pretty frequently. I don't have a great memory, right? My best memories are Slim Chickens, basically.
Take the show with you by listening on the Sports Radio 810 mobile app at 810WHB.com or by searching for Almost Entirely Sports wherever you get your podcasts.
Beards, how do you pee?
This is Almost Entirely Sports on Sports Radio 810WHB.
Indeed it is, and it's also about 24 hours away from the Kansas City Chiefs' first home game of the 2021 NFL preseason. And that's exciting. We got that going for us, which is nice. Welcome into Almost Entirely Sports. I'm Joshua Briscoe. Rudy Salazar is on the other side of the glass here, the in-studio glass. Beards
plexiglass.
McFly. Right. Rudy's on the other side of the plexiglass. Beards McFly on the other side of the hermetically sealed glass, which is how it needs to be.
He's a filthy boy.
He's just a filthy, filthy boy, that Beards McFly. We call him Filthy Beards McFly.
Yep.
And that's his old-timey baseball name. You know, like any time Shohei Ohtani does something, or you get, who was the Diamondbacks pitcher that had a no-hitter in his first start? Rudy has the only chance.
I was almost going to say Tyler Chatham, but that's not him.
You were the only one that had a chance of getting that on their first try.
It starts with a T.
I believe you. I know you're also going to prove it. You're going to Google it, and that's, you know, because the facts matter.
Tyler Gilbert.
You got Tyler?
No, it was a Tyler.
You got that it was a Tyler. That's pretty good.
Who's Tyler Chatham playing for these days?
That's a great question that I don't know the answer to. Every time one of those.
Northwestern Mutual financial advisor. I don't think Tyler Chatham plays baseball.
How many innings is he getting for the Northwestern Mutual financial advisors?
Funny enough, you know where he's a financial advisor in? Phoenix, Arizona.
All right, so he's out there.
Maybe he used to pitch.
Look, I mean, minor league baseball
class
team
of
names
2022, left-handed pitcher, first baseman, Tyler Chatham. There we go.
Minor league baseball team names have gotten weirder and weirder over the years, right? If you said there was a team called the Northwest Mutual Financial Advisors that was like a high A-ball team in Wisconsin, I'd be like, yeah, sure.
Also,
yeah, why not?
UCLA screenwriter. Tyler's really just got
branching
his hands.
Out.
He's got his hands in every little cookie pot.
That's
jar.
Cookie certainly
jar.
Not what it's called. I mean, look, I think a cookie
hands
pot
of multiple
sounds
cookie jars.
Cookie pot sounds cuter. It sounds like Winnie the Pooh would get his hand stuck in a cookie pot, you know? But every time that, you know, there's a baseball stat like that of Tyler whatever the bleep gets his first, he ends up, I've already forgotten again.
Gilbert.
Yep, it's gone. I mean, you keep saying,
Tyler,
I hear you say Tyler Gilbert.
Like Gilbert.
I forgot it again. So whenever Tyler Gilbert Godfrey throws a no-hitter on his first time out, there's always the stats like, that's the first time that's happened since Jimmy catches fish with his bare hands Johnson did it in 1912.
He was the first since Theodore, Bumpus, and Bobo.
That's not a joke. What I
no,
said
those
was
were
a joke.
Yeah, what I said was a fact.
What Rudy said was very
the pitcher's
real.
Names were Theodore, Bumpus, and Bobo.
Do you have their full names there from that tweet?
Let me pull up.
If not, that's fine. I'm very close to getting
the lead of a New York Post article.
If you could just find the full stat.
It's a great first sentence. There was Theodore, Bumpus, and Bobo. That's how the article starts.
It's beautiful.
Sounds like a nursery rhyme.
Now there's Tyler.
It does.
Gilbert.
And then Tyler comes in and ruins it all. Because Theodore, Bumpus, and Bobo, great names for nursery rhyme. Tyler, you know, just kind of a name.
Well, Tyler's the normal person that gets greeted by the gnomes, Theodore, Bumpus, and Bobo.
I think that's exactly what's... Beard, I think you've nailed it. I think you have sharpened this down to a fine point.
To take Tyler on his magical adventure.
Okay, I think I've got the tweet here. And then we can talk about someone else whose name sounds like it comes out of a storybook and what that means, because I think it's very interesting.
Patrick Mahomes.
And then a few other things as well as we get up to the Chiefs' first preseason game, or last preseason game, first one in Arrowhead.
I have the names here.
Tyler Gilbert joined Bobo Holloman, who had a no-hitter in his first career start in 1953,
yep.
Bumpus Jones in October 1892, and Theodore Brittenstein, who did it in 1891.
I think it might be Breitenstein. Breitenstein.
Berenstain Bears. Theodore Bumpus and Bobo. So anyway, Stinky Beards McFly, like, he threw a no-hitter in his first start in 1887. It was just before they started keeping track of those sorts of things.
Yep.
I would
crafty
be...
Crafty lefty, that.
Crafty Stinky for sure. Stinky Beards.
Crafty lefty for sure.
A
it's not coming
of,
in with the heat.
No. Absolutely not. If
crafty.
If our various
coming
listenerships
all the odds.
If our various listenerships in different places
he dropped on his head as a child. Everybody was stunned that he made it that far, but hey.
No hitter in his first start.
Immediately sent down, never made it back up, but hey.
If you want to tweet at us, at JB Briscoe, at Not That Rudy, at Beards McFly, at Sports Radio 810, or if you're in the comments section of any of the places, either the Sports Radio 810 Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch, I would be very, very down to hear what our baseball, old school baseball nicknames would be, but I think that has to be crowdsourced. I don't think we can give those to ourselves. So if anyone wants to chime in on that, I'd like to get that going. Also, I asked Beards this earlier, and Rudy, maybe you'll remember, we're doing another, can you remember the name of the person thing, but instead of the 1800s, this one is from Tuesday.
Tyler Chatham.
No. There was a Facebook commenter who suggested of my suit jacket searching, where I needed to try to figure out how I was going to find a suit jacket within my price range, but it wasn't from a Goodwill or a Savers, like all my other suit jackets except for one. I just needed a sport coat, you know, for a wedding this weekend, and really just for my life. And someone on Facebook, I remember it was a woman's name, and Beards had a guess.
Heidi.
Beards is saying Heidi. I can't remember, and I'm really sorry. I continue to forget Theodore and Tyler's
Bumpus.
Names. So I apologize to whoever it was that suggested Nordstrom Rack. But I went out there yesterday, came in extremely clutch. A perfect suggestion from Facebook. Thank you very much to the Facebook commenter/listener who suggested going to an in-person Nordstrom Rack.
I think Beards is right, though. I really think it was Heidi.
If it was Heidi, thank you, Heidi.
I think Beards nailed it.
I hope that is true. And if I've gotten it wrong... they're the only person who suggested that. Beards, can you just go find it in the comment section from Tuesday's show? Just go see if you can confirm that for us.
I can look.
Because I would like to make sure I've gotten that right. But I went out there yesterday, and I had a whole plan of like different places that I was going to go if I needed to, but I went there first. And look, they still have some that are like on sale for $600, and that's not the life that I'm about currently. You know, I'd like to be there someday, but that's not where I'm at right now. But they had all sorts of great options and good price ranges. I found one that fit just like immaculately. So a perfect suggestion there. And then also... S. Wallaby gets the first mention on Twitch. I did get a haircut today, and Ice Pyro asks about the blazer. I got that yesterday. So these last 2 days, I've kind of gotten my bleep together. Not in a major way, but in a minor way. I haven't fixed anything about myself inherently, but I feel pretty good about the fashion choices that I've made in the last 48 hours or so. Also, I've gotten two texts from the Drake, Jason Justice, about his favorite baseball player names. And I'm just going to assume, since it's an on-air bit, it's a text for on-air also.
Probably.
And if not, you know, I've made worse mistakes. He wanted to nominate Urban Shocker and Razor Shines for great baseball names of all time.
Those are good baseball
They're
names.
They're great baseball names. Obviously, around here, we're partial to Dick Justice.
Yeah.
That's impossibly difficult to beat, specifically in this house, yep. You know, that we occupy right now. Not because of Jason Justice, but because of Dick Justice, the wiener dog mascot that we have that's over somewhere in the control room. So
I have a personal favorite new baseball name. People are throwing out their suggestions.
Oh boy, I've seen a lot. I'm seeing a lot in the chat.
I've got two really good winners. Josh, the Pineapple Briscoe with an E.
Okay, no E, but the pineapple's pretty funny.
And then Beard's 2077 McFly.
I like that a lot. I like Beard's 2077 McFly.
I don't know if it's necessarily a good baseball name, but I like it. Which means it wins.
Caleb on Twitter has tweeted the Sultan of Swag, which is too kind, but pretty, but like.
I appreciate the compliment to me, but I just, yeah, it's a little too much.
Like, I just saw a tweet about Mookie Betts returning to the lineup on my Twitter just now. You know, if someone wanted to call him the Sultan, that's probably got to be a Yankee, honestly.
Sultan. But I mean, I would.
I would take it over Joshua brought to you by the letter E Briscoe, which was a nice Pyro suggestion.
I do like also just JT Josh Whitey Briscoe. Honestly, Whitey is, I mean, it's a baseball
name. There's been some great Whiteys in the history of baseball. That's exactly it. I drive a Ford now.
Josh Whitey probably drives a Ford Briscoe.
That's
rolls right
it.
Off the tongue.
Yeah. I think that's... It's a little bit of a mouthful.
This is pretty good.
But we can figure it out.
Ice Pyro, Rudy, Geha, Salazar.
Rudy Salazar at GEHA Field.
At Geha.
Or Geha Field, as you would say, or GEH, as Clark Hunt has said a couple of times, still much to my absolute shock.
The A is silent, so when you spell it out, you don't necessarily have to also say it when you spell it out.
Can it be Rudy Geha Salazar? Can you make it a little more Southern? Do you mind?
Yeah, I mean, I think we can make that work. Like, I'm from the country, so like, it can pass.
I want to talk about a couple things. This preseason game is going to be weird, and we're like so close to real actual football that I feel like most of us are probably salivating for like an actual game and not just one of our preseason game. But I will say, I enjoyed the last two preseason games, and also I've been doing a little mini pregame show action here and not been doing postgame for the preseason, so it's been kind of interesting to be able to. I'm still taking notes because I'm a crazy person that will always be obsessively noting the things that are happening. It's the preseason for me.
The players are in preseason. You're in preseason. You're getting your feel for not just how you're going to take notes, but also the format, right?
Mental reps. It's the mental reps.
You got to get in the mood because you don't want week one to come and now you're rusty.
Yeah, that's a great point.
You missed something in the second quarter and you spend the whole week trying to talk about it and can't because you missed it.
Because I just missed a touchdown and I was like, why is that? That must be a typo. That clearly they didn't score there. But I've actually kind of enjoyed, Seth Kizer brought up this point of like, I think he tweeted about it during the last game of like, you know, we can watch the games and kind of evaluate things and enjoy them, but not have to stress about the result. And I have enjoyed it for that reason. I've enjoyed, you know, just being able to watch Chiefs football on my screen again. And I'm going to enjoy the game tomorrow as well. But I am glad there's not going to be a fourth one. Three is a pretty good number. Two might be the right number. I might be bored by halftime. At this point, I feel like it would be silly to trust Andy Reid saying that they're going to play a full half of the starters tomorrow. They could with some of them because they have some extra time to rehabilitate with basically a full week off, you know, going into the first game. But also, like, Darrell Williams has been in the concussion protocol. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I think his ankle's going to be fine. Mm-hmm. But, like,
it doesn't make sense.
Those two guys are not going to play on Friday. Yeah. My bigger concern, and they held out Tyreek Hill in Game 2. So, like, the Chiefs, no. I'm not saying anything that they haven't thought about. I'm just kind of connecting the dots. I don't know that it makes a whole lot of sense to say, yeah, you know, we got all these dudes banged up, but let's keep putting guys out there because you're always going to have little nagging injuries that are going to find guys over the course of a game. And if Orlando Brown gets a minor ankle sprain playing into the second quarter, I mean, it's going to be that would be one of the, I think, a very small number of players on a given team who could move the line pretty significantly in a football game, because all of a sudden
You have Mike Rimmers or Lucas Niang playing left tackle, and the other one is playing right tackle. You know, like we played the audio on Tuesday of Eric Bieniemy talking about the advantages of playing in the preseason and all, you know, talking about communication and how all communication is good communication and how even if it's bad, even if it is communication that does not quite work or it's communication that does not fully have the right content, you just have to be communicating at all times. And for them to have a chance to do that during the preseason, so if it is in, if Creed Humphrey makes a bad call or if Lucas Niang misses somebody or whatever, it's not as big a deal because it's a preseason game. Then you make that mistake so you don't make that mistake again whenever the game counts. I do see the logic there. I'm also a little bit of a worrier whenever it comes to guys getting hurt in meaningless games. If you get hurt in a regular season game, that's the job, right? Like, you're out there, you have to play in the regular season while you're healthy, and if you get hurt, it's super unfortunate, but it can happen.
It's football.
It's just a part. It's the worst part of the game. I am just afraid that the stacking number of little things could take us to an unpleasant place if they do play all of these guys in the regular season, in this preseason game on Friday. My guess is that they want to get the offensive line working again, and I bet we see. Andy Reid said in his press conference yesterday, he's like, "Yeah, we'll play a half," but then he also said something along the lines of, "You know, we want to get the guys a couple of snaps or a couple of reps with the offensive line." I bet we see something that looks more like the first preseason game where Mahomes plays a drive and then Henny comes out behind that first team offensive line for a little while longer, and that we might be seeing backups by the second quarter, which would be fine by me.
Yeah, you know, it is a, I mean, one, this whole game is unique in many ways. One, it's the first time we've had the third preseason game be the final preseason game. We're used to this being the game where the starters really play a lot. We obviously know that's not going to happen, but it's right. Like the formula for the three preseason games hasn't been created yet, right?
Yeah.
Like we had the formula for the four when you had four. We knew basically exactly what was going to happen. Game one through game four. We don't know exactly what the Chiefs, like, we have no history to look back on. But the Chiefs have an offensive line with really only one guy who you're like, yeah, he probably doesn't need the work. Because you have three rookies from center to right tackle, and you have a left tackle who's been in the NFL, but is now in a completely new offense blocking for a completely new quarterback at a position he has not played a lot of. He has played there before, but not a lot of. And so, also, all five are new starters.
Yep.
So it's not like, well, you have a couple guys who have been here and know this system really well, and they can kind of help. It is five new guys. Now, again, Tooney's like, and part of it's the position. Part of it's just him. He's the one guy where I'm just like, Tooney's fine, right? Like,
yep.
If they decided, and again, it doesn't work this way, that Tooney doesn't need to play because he's ready, I'd be fine with it. The problem with that is you need Tooney to play because you need Creed and
right.
And Orlando Brown to work with him.
Right.
So, like, it doesn't work that way. But, like, he's the one guy where you're like, he really doesn't need the work. Everybody else, I guess, you know, how much they needed the work, I don't know. Like, how much is playing one quarter of this game really benefit them in the regular season? I have no way to put a number on that.
And
it maybe speeds up the press, but it is impossible to know. But it is unique because you have five just brand new guys on an offensive line, and three of them are rookies.
And you might be able to move that needle some in the preseason, but you're not going to get it the whole way there. They're going to be growing pains in the regular season.
Absolutely.
You just want to have as few of those as possible. And between training camp and the preseason, I think they're going to be pretty okay in that regard.
It might take a couple games to like really get into a flow, but I mean, certainly by the end of the season, the middle of the season, we're basically going to just be looking at the offensive line and, like, not necessarily as this monstrous, world-beating offensive line, but as an offensive line that we're never really complaining about, right? Like, they may not be the best off. I don't know if they're going to be the best offensive line in football, but I feel pretty confident I'm not going to be sitting there just watching Patrick Mahomes have to run for his life on every play, or the Chiefs not be able to pick up 1 yard on third and one. We talked about this. I don't want to see the Chiefs run the ball 30 times a game. But what I do want to see them do is when they decide to run the ball in third and one, just to pick up a yard, right?
Just have it work.
Like when they do decide to run the ball, be effective. Do not run often, but when you do, do it successfully. And I think with this offensive line, I think the job will almost always get done. There'll obviously be mess ups here and there, but I think overall, you know, quarter of the way into the season, that's kind of how we'll be looking at the offensive line. That's my guess.
And you'd like to be at a place where you are talking about a dominant unit.
For
partway
sure.
through the yeah, year, yeah, yeah. but probably not from the gate. You mentioned that we don't have a formula for a 3 preseason game schedule yet. Mm-hmm. Obviously, with the previous one being essentially a little bit in the first game of the starters, a little more in the second game. In the third preseason game, starters play the first half and then usually come out at halftime.
Yeah.
And then the fourth preseason game, they maybe don't play at all. James Palmer of the NFL Network tweeted this out earlier today. I thought it was super interesting. Here are the projected starting quarterbacks who have not played in the preseason for their team. These are projected starters for 2021 who have not played in the preseason this year, okay? Here's the list. Matt Ryan, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Baker Mayfield, Dak Prescott, Aaron Rodgers, Carson Wentz, Derek Carr, Justin Herbert, Matthew Stafford, Daniel Jones, Russell Wilson, Ryan Tannehill. Is that list longer than you guys expected? Because I was surprised.
Now Joe Burrow is going to play in the final preseason game.
Dak and Burrow and Wentz all have direct injury things playing into that.
And Ryan Tannehill is in COVID protocol.
And so he wasn't before, though.
No, not before. He will not play. I just mean like he is definitely not playing in the final game. There's no chance because he's got because of COVID.
I don't think that anybody other than Burrow. I don't know if we heard about Dak. Burrow and Dak could potentially go. I would be surprised if Wentz did. Although I know he's ahead of schedule. You know, whatever that ridiculous 2 to 15 week schedule return was for him and Quentin Nelson. But regardless, the thing there is that there are 10 guys, mm-hmm. 10 to 12, let's say, of these quarterbacks who are being held out of the preseason just because their coaches have seen, and also specifically, I know Burrow is a little bit of both. It's a little bit of protect him and a little bit of he's still coming back.
Yeah.
But if you are the Bengals, you have seen really recently what happens if one freak play happens and it knocks out your franchise quarterback for a year.
McCarthy did say it is unlikely he will play. Dak Prescott will play in the preseason. So
it's even more unlikely that McCarthy will play in the preseason.
Yes,
I forgot he was their coach.
He's got a beard now, man. Yeah.
He's out here smashing watermelons like.
He looks more authoritative with a little kind of salt and pepper beard he's got working for him now. It's a good rustic look. But he is still their head coach.
And then Kellen Mond is their 22-year-old offensive coordinator.
Dude, you said Kellen Mond, and I thought, is he the backup there? And I forgot, no, you're right. He is the offensive coordinator.
Yeah, I mean he is still
He's not 22.
He's not 22. But he's young.
But seriously.
Kellen Mond.
Not
Kellen Mond. Kellen Mond's the quarterback.
Kellen Mond is 22.
Yeah, not Kellen Mond. It's Kellen Moore, right? Isn't that Kellen
it's
Moore?
Not Kellen, no.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Kellen Moore. Christopher Moore played at BYU and is the, or not BYU, Boise State, and is backup quarterback for the Cowboys, now the offensive coordinator for the Cowboys. Mond is the backup quarterback for the Vikings. Possibly.
I knew he was the backup for the Vikings. Okay, my brain was working okay with what you said there.
Yeah. Who is 22?
He is 22.
Kellen Moore is 33.
Kellen Mond is the backup quarterback for the Vikings.
Yes.
Kellen Moore
was a backup quarterback in the NFL.
Yes, he was at
Boise State. And then is now
the Cowboys offensive coordinator.
OC of the Cowboys.
Holy smokes, he went on a journey. How old is he?
33.
Okay. Still pretty young.
Yeah, played 6 years in the he could still be an NFL quarterback.
Maybe he does get a helmet whenever, you know, if Dak gets hurt again. Don't they still have...
that's how they actually... They're Ben DiNucci.
Ben DiNucci. I could not remember. Yeah. I knew it was a fun name who got a little bit of time last year.
Who's apparently on Google is trending right now.
Is he?
Yeah.
Is that a good thing?
I don't know. I mean, I don't see anything...
It's not for anything bad, right?
I don't see anything crazy. My guess is people are just...
They also have Gilbert Garrett.
He might have been cut, maybe?
From SMU.
I see a headline, DiNucci exits battle for QB2 with poor play. Cooper Rush. improves.
God, the quarterback depth chart in Dallas is Dak Prescott. Just purely names. Just judge the names here. Dak Prescott, Gilbert Garrett, Ben DiNucci, Cooper Rush. There's not a better name depth chart.
Cooper Rush sounds like he's a Texas quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah, no, Garrett
Gilbert was a quarterback at Texas. Cooper Rush was Northern Illinois.
Cooper Rush
feels like... Knew it was the Mac.
Cooper Rush should be a starting quarterback somewhere, for sure.
Maybe for the Broncos.
I think on... ourlads.com, OURLADS.com, they do updated depth charts, so they're the first place I go whenever I need a depth chart. ESPN is kind of clunky. The team ones aren't always updated, so Ourlads does a really good job.
Very good.
But they also, I think, it appears that if someone is on the COVID-19 list, they put their name in pink, and then it says COVID-19, but it's after their first name. It goes last name, first name. So, like, right now, you know, they're number two receiver probably right now behind Amari Cooper, not Michael Gallup, but the young one they drafted that wears number 88.
Oh, CD Lamb.
Well, Ourlads would say CD COVID-19 Lamb, which is a risky
pretty
choice
good.
For a middle name, I think. And you have Connor COVID-19 Williams at guard.
Solid nickname.
That is. Now, if you found an old-timey baseball player with the nickname COVID-19, then the conspiracy theories really start flying. What did they know? It's just, but it's in that case, it was actually just like, I don't know, it was short for something, and he wore number 19.
And
Shohei Ohtani is the first player since COVID-19 Hooker to throw to have 10 strikeouts and hit 2 home runs in the same game. Anyway.
Anyhow.
So, I am pretty confident that we're going to continue to see the Chiefs players in their ones get work in the preseason, because that's just what Andy Reid does. Like, that will be his philosophy. We've talked about this many times over many years on this show. Andy Reid is the most old school, new school, or the most new school, old school coach in football.
Yep.
And that, I think, is not a criticism. It is just what he is. Somebody one time on Twitter...
It's hard to argue... fully with it, right? Like, I mean, like, here's the deal. Like,
yeah, no, I mean,
Andy Reid won a Super Bowl, but like, you can have disagreements with him. For people who are like, you can't just like, he won a Super Bowl. What do you know? No. Andy Reid will tell you he makes plenty of mistakes. He makes bad decisions. But like, it's his way has worked very well.
There was someone on, I think it was on Twitter at one point, and they I might see if I can find the specific tweet during the break here, but they asked something along the lines of, what percentage is Andy Reid an old school football, hand in the dirt, stubborn football coach? And what percentage is he a wizard? And I've thought about that many times. Right? It's a good question. Because I think it's more of the offensive wizard than old school football coach. But he is both. You know?
I was going to say maybe 60-40 to 65-35. 65-35 feels more right, because there's quite a bit of old school football coach in there, but it's still an overwhelming amount of new wizard, you know, offensive wizard.
I think I went 70-30 in favor of the new school stuff.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
But I think that still works.
If I'm at 65-35, you're at 70-30. I mean, we're very close. It's probably right around there.
I think it's in that range. I think about that question every once in a while, because it's phrase so brilliantly.
As long as Andy Reid is like the head coach of this team, the Chiefs are going to be going somewhere for training camp, most likely St. Joe, and Patrick Mahomes is going to play in the preseason. It does appear that we are moving to a trend, especially of starting quarterbacks not playing in the preseason.
Yep.
And it's understandable when you think about the money that they're given and the investment that's been put into them. You never want to see him get hurt. You really don't want to see him get hurt in the preseason.
Yep.
That'll just never be Andy Reid's, you know, method. It'll just never be his style.
Speaking of quarterbacks who aren't starting, the Broncos made a decision since we last had an almost entirely sports. I want to talk about that so whenever we come back. Attention, listeners across the galaxy, all the way from Australia to Houston. Do we have a problem? If so, our friends at Manscaped have cleared you for takeoff with their fourth generation and brand new Lawnmower 4.0.
Pick up the Performance Package 4.0 and you'll feel like you're in zero gravity when you use the best tools for the job from the leaders in male grooming. Join the 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped and get your rocket ready for takeoff by going to manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping with the code ALMOST. Every single thing that we here at Almost Entirely Sports have gotten from Manscaped over the last few months has been genuinely excellent. It's not just a catchphrase. They really are the best in class in male grooming. The lawnmower is exceptional at its very specific job. The boxers that Manscaped has is incredible. All of us became fans of the cologne whenever we got that in our last package from Manscaped. It smells amazing. I'm wearing it right now. So what are you waiting for? Get 20% off and free shipping with the code ALMOST at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping with the code ALMOST at manscaped.com.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Defense wins championships, run the ball, establish the run, and ground and pound, baby. Wear down defenses.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Box scores matter. Hashtag box scores matter. Kirk Cousins is actually good. Put your hand in the dirt.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Here's a stat from the Twitch chat before we talk about the Broncos quarterback situation. S. Wallaby on Twitch, I did not know this, and S. Wallaby's a regular, so I'm going to trust that this is true and not made up.
Josh, I love our Twitch. My iPad is currently volume still on. I don't know if it came out over there, but was on. Anyways, yeah. Josh,
how are you going to criticize someone else?
I love our Twitch chat. Twitch chat's fine. I've watched enough Twitch channels to know never trust the chat.
Ours are different. As Wallaby says, Patrick Mahomes needs just 180 yards to pass Matthew Stafford for the most passing yards through a player's first 50 games in NFL history.
Okay, I actually believe that because literally every game Patrick Mahomes breaks one of those records.
True. Like. Also needs just one touchdown to pass Dan Marino for the most passing touchdowns through a player's first 50 games. Mahomes has played 46 games. That last part, I just want to make sure everyone heard that last part. 180 yards for the most passing yards through 50 games. One touchdown for the most passing touchdowns through 50 games. Mahomes has played 46 games. He has four games to put up 181 in a tutty.
You know, like, usually every team has the thing that
ridiculous.
You make fun of. Broadcasters because it gets talked about like one specific thing. So it was like with Ryan Fitzpatrick, it's did you know he went to Harvard, right?
What?
Stunning.
When are you going to tell me that Trevor Siemian was tall? I guess he still is.
Trevor Siemian. Was Trevor Siemian tall?
Wasn't he? I think those dudes were tall.
I think Trevor Siemian was the exception, which is why he never really got a chance.
I think Trevor Siemian was also tall.
Trevor Siemian.
Paxton Lynch was taller.
Paxton Lynch was tall. Trevor Siemian was 6'3".
Yeah.
I think that's what I'm saying. That's why I feel like he was the oddball because he was the one quarterback. He was just a short boy. He was just a little short, 6'3"
right,
boy.
Paxton Lynch is 6'7".
Yeah. And then Brock Osweiler was like 6'8" or whatever. But anyways, every game, the broadcast, there is a Patrick Mahomes just broke, you know, passing yards and touchdowns on a player. It's like first blank games.
And it's going to happen forever.
Yeah. He's going to have all the records.
Speaking of Broncos quarterbacks who aren't 6'7", they made the call, Vic Fangio made the call in their quarterback battle, and I think it's really interesting for a number of reasons. So Teddy Bridgewater won it, and he played really well in the preseason, and he played well in training camp, allegedly, and he's been consistent and accurate. And, you know, has gone 16 of 19 for 18 yards or whatever it is that he's doing out there. And also, I like Teddy Bridgewater. I don't think you can win a Super Bowl with Teddy Bridgewater. I'm not sure that... I mean, the Chiefs could win 12 games with Teddy Bridgewater in a 17-game season. I don't think the Broncos can, but... The Broncos do have a really good roster. They do. We talked to Aaron Schatz of Football Outsiders last week, and they're bullish on the Broncos and the Raiders and kind of bearish on the Chargers. The Broncos have a good roster, and I think that Vic Fangio, I'm not surprised at all that this is the call that they made. Vic Fangio is a defensive coach who believes in his defense and the weapons that Teddy Bridgewater has to throw to, and so I get it. If you said, hey, the Broncos, we got a
gun to your head, it's going to be a long time, I guess, because we're waiting for the Broncos to finish their season. But the Broncos have to win 9 games for you to survive after this season. I would say please start Teddy Bridgewater. And if it doesn't work out, you can break glass and go to Drew Luck if you want. If you said you need to find yourself 12 wins somehow, or you need to figure out what you've had, what you've got here, I would start Drew Lock. I don't think they're going to win. They would win 12 games with Drew Lock. I think that they're going to be a better team with Bridgewater than they would have been with Lock. But there's a little bit of that sort of, you know, it's a sloppy comparison, but the Alex Smithy sort of safe quarterback who can manage the game, and maybe it's not even Alex Smith's last year in Kansas City. Maybe it's the first couple years of Alex Smith, and they don't have Andy Reid's offense and all of that. Again, it's a bit of a sloppy comparison. But Teddy Bridgewater can play NFL quarterback competently.
Yep.
Now, also, the Panthers paid for him to go away so they could have the honor of starting Sam Darnold. Just so you get a feel of where the Panthers were at with Teddy Bridgewater. If you think that I'm trying to tell you that actually the Broncos are going to be a threat for the division, I don't think that they will be. And I think that you should keep in mind what the Panthers did, again, to get themselves away from Teddy Bridgewater for the sake of Sam Darnold.
After signing him to like a 3-year deal.
They gave him some money.
Yeah, like there was a financial investment into Teddy Bridgewater.
And they're still paying it for him to start for the Broncos. I think he's got a significantly larger cap hit for the Panthers this year than he does for the Broncos.
Yeah, and like that says something of how a team views you, right? Like if how much you're willing to pay a player to not play for you.
And also, the Broncos chose Bridgewater over Drew Lock.
Yep.
And that is what I think is probably the biggest thing here. I think the Drew Lock experiment is probably officially over now in Denver. Maybe the season goes poorly. Maybe Bridgewater gets hurt. Maybe he just doesn't play very well. And they try Drew Lock mid-season or something. There's a chance of any of that. I mean, it's possible. But I think that if you're the Broncos front office, you'd actually probably like to start with Drew Lock, and then if he's terrible for 8 games, you just say, all right, Teddy, go for it. Because you really need to know confidently what do you have in Drew Lock. If you're Vic Fangio, I don't think for a second that Vic Fangio's job is like unimpeachably safe right now. If the Broncos stink this year, even if the defense is good, even if it doesn't appear to be Vic Fangio's fault, I don't think that they would hesitate to say, we're going to bring somebody in who we're going to have be a quarterback whisperer for whoever we take with the 5th overall pick or wherever they end up, if they are that kind of disappointing. But I do think that it's very, very hard to look at the Bridgewater choice as anything other than the end of them even really truly evaluating Drew Lock. And again, if you're the front office, I wouldn't have minded another season of finding out if there's any chance that maybe Locke has just taken an extra second to figure it all out to, you know, be the best that he can actually be. I think there's a chance of that happening. Some quarterbacks are not immediately excellent. Again, I'm not betting on that with Locke, but I think that's a feasible, reasonable thing to go, you know what, I'm not ready to call it yet, but if you're Vic Fangio and this team needs to actually win football games and be good for you to keep your job and you're a defensive coach, you want to be carried by your defense and have simply competent, safe quarterback play. I think what is best for Fangio and what is best for the 2021 Broncos is not the same as what is probably best for the 2022 Broncos. And also, they should have drafted Justin Fields. Think about that right now. Patrick Surtain Jr. is going to be a good football player in all likelihood. I get it.
Hopefully he'll be chief one day like his dad. Like late 7 years into his career. Come on down, Patrick Surtain Jr. I'll buy your jersey too.
Wouldn't hurt my feelings any.
And then Ty Law Jr., if you're out there, maybe we'll just get those two. We've done this. Ty Law Jr. does not exist. Like we did a whole bit on this where I tried to find Ty Law Jr. Doesn't exist.
There is a Tyrann Mathieu Jr. He's just very small right now. It's going to be a little longer.
So is the Honey Badger.
Very young right now. So here's the worst thing for the Broncos. Okay, so all of that laid out, you understand where I'm coming from on. You'd like to fully evaluate Drew Lock a little more. You want to win games right now. Bridgewater's been good. I get it. They have essentially said, we are done wondering if Drew Lock can be our starting quarterback. And we've decided that with a preseason game left ahead of the 2021 season. If you could have made that call on Drew Lock a couple months sooner, which you probably could have, you could have taken Justin Fields, and he could have sat behind Teddy Bridgewater. Maybe you try to flip Drew Lock at the draft for a fifth or a sixth round pick to a team. I mean, hell, the Panthers traded for Sam Darnold. Mm-hmm. Maybe you find somebody that says that they think they could get something out of Drew Lock. If the Chiefs decided that Drew Lock was going to be their third quarterback, who's developed behind Mahomes, then he is the backup eventually whenever Chad Henne retires in like 2045. That would be fine with me. Drew Lock is going to be in the league for a while. Mitch Trubisky looked really good as a backup for the Bills a couple days ago in the preseason game.
Trubisky season, baby.
Drew Lock is going to stay in the league. Or don't go get Teddy Bridgewater and just draft a quarterback. Yeah. Let him compete with Drew Lock and then make that decision. Because the only place, again, the Broncos, with a really good roster, they might be able, if everything goes well, maybe they're fighting for a wild card spot late into the season. I think that is possible. I don't think it's likely, but I think it's possible. But if you have one of those young quarterbacks, one of the rookies on that rookie contract, again, you refresh your timeline there, and then you're making the decision that the Bears are making right now, but instead of Andy Dalton, it's either Bridgewater or Drew Lock. You can let one of those guys trot out there for the first 4 weeks, or you could go straight to Justin Fields. But either way, the Broncos are not going to win anything meaningful with either Teddy Bridgewater or Drew Lock. That's the dividing factor here that I think they have totally let themselves down on.
Yeah, the reality is, and this is where you find, you know, the why it's so important to have that relationship between a front office and the coach, because again, what the coaches want, right, and what the GMs want, those don't always like line up. The reality is the Denver has nothing to gain really by playing Teddy Bridgewater. While I don't think Drew Lock is a starting NFL quarterback, he's at least done some things in the NFL that like excite you and is young enough. The best move for the Broncos going forward is just, Drew, here you go. Like, this is your season. And you have this is your chance to show that you belong as a starter in the league. And maybe he rises and develops and becomes great, and maybe he sucks and you're with a top 7 draft pick again.
Yep.
Certainly top 10 with the chance to move up and go get your guy, which obviously they're in that position this year. It's the reason why signing guys like Teddy Bridgewater is never the route to go
such a good point.
As a starter.
Yep.
He is the perfect backup quarterback to go sign. If you wanted him around to help Drew Lock, great. Teddy Bridgewater is a smart guy who's been in this league. He knows what he's doing. He can help out a young quarterback. But playing the Teddy Bridgewater for a year does nothing, except maybe for the franchise, but it might give Vic Fangio one more year, which is one more year making NFL head coaching money, which, you know, if you're a head coach, any NFL athlete, any NFL head coach, you have to have this like weird amount of confidence to get to those positions. Otherwise, you just don't get there.
Mm-hmm.
And in Vic Fangio's mind, you know, it's if I can buy one more year, we can get this turned around. And I believe he truly believes that, even though I think his strategy, his line of reasoning will never fully be. It will never work in a way that really matters. It may constantly win them 9 games, 10 games, but that doesn't matter. If you're a Broncos fan, you don't want that. But like, that is,
if you can get Vic Fangio running a defense with Justin Fields doing all pro stuff offensively,
it suddenly
matters very much.
Yeah.
But they don't have Justin Fields, which is really too bad that they couldn't have, you know, been able to make that choice. Oh, no. Yeah, they did pass over him. Yeah, okay. Now this one's on them.
He's a smart defensive mind. It's just he needed somebody to step up and be like, hey, we're drafting a quarterback here. We'll handle the offensive brain thinking.
And instead, they went with Teddy Bridgewater. As Rudy said, Teddy Bridgewater.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
I did not have in the show notes talk about how clean Rudy's butt was all pandemic, but here we are.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I neglected to mention within the first hour of the show what the next 2 hours of the show are going to look like. Whenever we come back, we'll do one of my favorite recurring bits, which is shot clock reviews. We've got shot clock reviews at 8, and then at 9 tonight we'll talk to Craig Stout of KC Sports Network about all sorts of things. I mean, the defensive stuff that we'll talk about with him obviously will be there. But there's also a couple other things that have come up with my conversations with him off air over the last, really just today even, kind of planning what we're going to talk about tonight. We have some special, extra special Renaissance Man Craig Stout stuff at 9 tonight. We'll see. We'll see when we get there. But Craig at 9, on the other side of this upcoming break, we'll do shot clock reviews. Some things that we've watched, read, played, done since the last edition of shot clock reviews, but that's 24 seconds at a time. Rudy's got to add some things to his list during the break.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB.